today's gospel comes from the 12th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 49th verse through 56. I have come to start a fire on this earth. How I wish it were blazing right now. I have come to change everything, turn everything right side up. How I long for it to be finished. Do you think that I have come to smooth things over and make everything nice? Not so. I have come to disrupt and to confront. From now on, when you find five in a house, it will be three against two, two against three, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against the bride, and the bride against the mother-in-law. And then he turned to the crowd. When you see the clouds coming in from the west, you say a storm is coming, and you're right. And when the wind comes out of the south, you say this will be a hot one, and you're right. Frauds. You know how to tell the change in the weather. So don't tell me you can't tell a change in season, the God season that we're in right now. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, I come to you now as your servant, asking that the words I speak this morning would not be my words, but they would be yours. Asking, O God, that those who hear and receive these words would receive them in their hearts and in their minds, in that place where only you and they go, their souls. Help us to understand symbolism. Help us to understand this teaching this morning. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit, that I would do your will and not my own. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. I am going to put myself at odds, and especially after hearing this great compliment of what a wonderful job I've done. And I'm about to step out of the frying pan, if you will, into the fire. Because one of the things I want to point out in this story, this is following the lectionary. This story is being talked about in churches all across the land. And all across the land, we have complete chaos and craziness going on, do we not? I mean, we have a search warrant that was issued by the Justice Department, and we have armed people going to the FBI and surrounding them because they said that somehow or another that search warrant was illegal. What? We've got people walking down the streets that are saying that if you're transgender, you don't belong in this community. It'd be much better if you were dead. We're not going to let you read stories to kids in our libraries. We've got people running around the country burning books. Hello?
How the Nazis started.
Take a breath, Paul. Because here is the excuse that these folks are doing that. You just heard it this morning. They have taken this verse and they have decided that it has given them permission to no longer be loving, accepting, tolerant, or forgiving. They have decided that Jesus talked about bringing fire, and so they're going to do that. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that this has all got to stop. We have got to start accepting people as the full creation of God. And you don't do that by burning things down. You don't do that by pulling out a gun every time you disagree with somebody. You don't do that by causing riots in the street every time a law passes that you don't agree with. And you especially don't do that if you're going to call yourself a person of faith, if you're going to call yourself a Christian. Because you see, I'm going to say this now, and I'm going to say it right at the end. There is a fellow by the name of Dominic Crossan. He was a priest in the Roman Catholic Church. And he says this, and I quote, about Scripture and about this passage that we just read this morning. My point, once again, is not that the ancient people told literal stories and we are now smart enough to take them symbolically, but that they told them symbolically and now we're dumb enough to take them literally. Jesus wasn't talking about setting the world on fire. What he was talking about was the consequences of his teachings. And you know how I know that's so obvious? Because here's how I know it's obvious. Peter went to Jesus and said, how many times do I have to forgive? Seven? And what did Jesus say? No, 70 times seven. They were going to stone a woman that had broken the law that, according to their laws in that day, was worthy of a death sentence. And what did Jesus say about instituting that death sentence? Oh, by the way, you don't get to do this unless you have no sin. What did Jesus say was the most important thing that we could do? Actually, the second most important thing, the first most important thing was what? To love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? Have you got a hold of something? Love your neighbor as yourself. That means you don't shoot them. It means that you forgive them. And you see, that's how I know that Jesus was talking in great, what do you call that when you use exaggerate, hyperbole, to get people's attention. Because when we say forgive, what do I hear from people? Well, Pastor, but how about the people that are homeless in the city of Atlanta and Decatur and the metro area? What are people actually doing? Oh, they've come up with this false thing about affordable housing. Because I will say it again. If you really want to take care of the homeless, you have to do three things all at once. They all have to be done at the same time. The first thing is that people have to have access, unfettered access to mental health care. People have to have access to unfettered care with drug rehab. And thirdly, the employers out there, you know, and this is where I become an enemy of the masses, I guess, you've got to be willing to pay a livable wage. Never mind minimum wage, a livable wage. And do the math, you'll figure out that that's an expensive adventure. But if we're going to have inflation, let's at least have inflation, because employers have raised what they're paying their employees. Amen? You see, this is what Jesus was talking about, why he said that he's come to confront, that he's turning the world upside down. It is not about setting fire to stuff. You see, Jesus was being prophetic. When you start to do this stuff, you are going to piss people off. When you start hearing the cry of the hungry and you start feeding them, you are going to piss people off. And you don't think I'm kidding? Several years ago here in Atlanta, they were running around giving tickets and arresting those people who were handing out free food. Do you remember that? We can't have a tent city because those people that don't want it in their backyard don't want to look at it. My suggestion to you is, if you don't want to look at a tent city in your backyard, help these people get off the street. You see, the call of Jesus that sets fire to things, and I'm going to leave you with this, that sets fire to things is this, because we have to answer how we're going to do this. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was naked, or as we say in Georgia, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. And the moment you all say, well, when did we ever see that to Jesus, and why do we got to do that? Because, folks, if you want to know peace, if you want to know what it is to experience love unconditionally, that's the path. The path is through feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, visiting those that are sick and in prison. And no, it is not my job as the pastor to tell you how to do that any more than it was Jesus' job to tell you how. Just simply to say, if you love God and you love your neighbors as yourself, then this is our first priority. And by the way, I will say this one more time. My point from Father Croson is, once again, not that the ancient people told literal stories, and they're now smart enough to take them symbolically, but they told them symbolically, and we're dumb enough to take them literally. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.